wonderful message that you give to us tonight, Lord, to remind us of who came 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. And Lord, what that message means to us today in the 21st century. We pray, Lord, you would guide us in the moments we have, just as a reminder of these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to speak on the subject, the message of Christmas. You know, it is during this time of year we have all kinds of messages that are floating around. You know, you have the fairy tale type of Christmas. You know, the kind where, you know, mom and dad in the fireplace and, you know, little children there all gathered around the tree and everybody's all happy and everything is just perfect and there's no problems and everything's just going to be just right. And the kids are going to love everything when they open up their presents. And mom and dad just love one another. And everybody's just all happy. And that's a fairy tale Christmas. Because the fact is that's not even reality. That's a mythical type of Christmas message. And sometimes we have that. We have the message that, you know, that Christmas is one of those where, you know, it snows on Christmas Eve. And when it snows, you know, everything is just right. You know, the snow comes tumbling down and everyone's all nestled in the house, snugging around a fire. And it's just, you know, it's just that makes it just so special. But then you have the message of the advertisers. The message of the advertisers is, you know, you got to have this product. That means if you're a real American family, you know that you need this product in your home. Might be, you know, some type of a electronic gadget that floats around on the floor and cleans up the floor for you. Or it could be some type of artificial intelligence, you know, one of these things, you know, that you have to have. Or maybe it would be, you know, something that you would park in your driveway. That's what you need, you know. So we have all kinds of messages that are floating around today. And sometimes, quite frankly, those messages compete with the true message. What the real message of Christmas is. And I think as we think of the many messages, it does seem to drown out the true message. And as God's people, it's a good reminder for us during this season to stop and look at what the message in Bethlehem was about. What that message is for us. And I find it's a fourfold message, really. It's centered in one message, but there's like the fourfold part of one message that we see here. Call your attention to the first fold of the message, if you would. It's a joyful message. A joyful message. When I think of the joy is that which is internal. It's that which is deeply satisfying to us. In our relationship with Jesus Christ, when we know Him, it is deeply satisfying. We are tonight, as God's people, and those of us who know Jesus worldwide, we are those who are filled with the most joy. Joy is not obviously wrapped up in something that someone may hand us in a gift form. It's in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So this joyful message comes from the joy of the Savior's birth. There's something joyful about a baby that's born. I was excited for the presses this week, you know, as Donegan came, and his name was William Donegan, and he was born on Tuesday at right around noon. Some people are just fortunate like that, you know, their babies are born in the middle of the day, you know. We never were, you know. Both our kids were born in the middle of the night, you know, you have to work through the night, and, you know, it's the wee hours of the morning, and that's when they choose to come. But this baby, it's such a wonderful joy that comes when you have a child like that. And there is something about that. But this baby not only affected Mary and Joseph, but it affected all of mankind. And it's exciting because it deals with new life. You know, when a baby is born, you think of the potential of the future and new life and what is involved and what it has for the family and the future of the family and all that's wrapped around that. But it's also true of the birth of a Savior. He provides a wonderful life for every one of us. Aren't you glad tonight that you know Him, a Savior? Aren't you glad that tonight that you can celebrate a joyful message? You know, you can have the message that this event takes place and it makes you happy, but with Jesus, there's joy. I think happiness is circumstantial. Joy is that which is dependent primarily on a relationship with God Himself. It's internal. Jesus brings joy. I love that song, Every Day with Jesus is Sweeter Than the Day Before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and He's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And I really believe, as the older I get, realizing how sweet it is to know Jesus. There's a lot of people that are just looking for that and that which we have in Jesus. This baby that was born. The message of Christmas is a joy. It's the joy of the Savior's birth, and it's the joy of the changed life that He brings. I notice the Bible says it was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and most of us probably know, we've studied this, many of us have grown up in church, we know the swaddling clothes are grave clothes, points to His death, His ultimate death. And because He came to die, when He rose again, He offers to every one of us a changed life that we have in Jesus. The message is for the sad and for the depressed. The message is for the lonely and for the drunkard. The message is for the harlot and the dope addict and for the rich and the famous and the community leader. Because Jesus came to give all of us, regardless of where we stand, a changed life. An abundant life. And God wants us to realize on this first Christmas that what happened there, that message, was the fact that it wasn't just that God was presenting something of joy for the day, but He was something of joy for the rest of our lives. It's found in Jesus. So we have then, first of all, this message of a joyful message that changes our life. Second part of this message is it's a universal message. Did you notice the Bible says it's for all of mankind? I'm so glad that the message we have is not restricted or limited to just a small group of people, but it's for everyone, all mankind. When I think of mankind, I think of the people that you and I live next door to. That those of us who we come in contact with on a daily basis, those who we perhaps share an office cubicle with, those that we spend time with, maybe in a classroom where we're sitting and we're hearing, whatever it is we're taking, and we're sitting next to them and they're trying to figure out life like you are. But when you know Jesus, it makes the difference. This message is the message that the missionary carries to the regions beyond, the borders beyond. This time of year, I always think of the missionaries. Probably a difficult time for them to be away from their family. And this will be a good time for us to say an extra, extra special prayer for them as they're away. Because they realize that this message is for all of mankind. God wants all men to come to Him. And then it says it's for all nations. Nations refer to individual countries, not just a location on a map, but real people. You know, we have kind of an unusual community here where we live. We have the opportunity to minister to many nations right here. You know, we don't have to necessarily cross the borders. We just have to go outside our doors to meet people from all nations. It's interesting because, you know, you can go down the street and you can meet people. I mean, my neighbors right on Keesler there, all of our neighbors were from all different places, different countries. And that's because God, the gospel, and I think about it, God has planted us in those places where we can tell people about Jesus. Literally in our backyard are all nations. And God says that this message is a universal message. It's a message that for you and me, I think we need to make sure that we get it universal, that we take it to the world. I don't believe we should try to keep it here in America. I believe the whole world needs to hear. And I think of those people in these countries of our world that don't know Jesus. How many of them need to hear the message that you and I were able to carry, we're able to hold in our hand, we're able to say, you know what, this has made a difference in our life. This has made a difference in the lives of people around us and difference in your life. I think of people that are hurting and looking for answers. Many of them are turning to the wrong places to try to find it. But God says, this is a universal message. Sort of hits up into the, confronts the idea that the gospel is just for a select group of people. No, the gospel's for everybody. Aren't you glad it's a universal message? Because what if you're not one of those select, as people might think? What if you're not one of those? Because I can tell you right now, I wouldn't be. But the Bible says it's for all. And then we build relationships with people from all walks of life. We're able to share the message. We're fulfilling God's desire, not only for missionaries globally, but what we do right here locally in getting the gospel. And then I think of third part of the message. It is a message, and God shows us, it's a salvation message. In other words, God has given us the message of salvation, that which could change lives. And the center of the message is Jesus. I feel bad for a person who their whole lives are centered around other things other than Jesus. Because the message that we have here, our lives should center around Jesus. Jesus should be first place. Amen. Sometimes people will say family first. And I understand what they mean. You know, we need to love our family and all of that. But I say God first. Make sure that our lives and our homes and everything that we do is centered around Jesus, and that our church, the message is around Jesus. I'm going to tell you this. Anytime you preach Jesus, you never go wrong. That should be the center of what we do here at Calvary Baptist Church. The center of what we do is not about the style of worship or what we do within that worship. It's all about, the focus is centered around Jesus. He is the message. He's the reason. We're all about that. We want to be about that. The Bible is the book of redemption. And it's about God rescuing man from our sins through Jesus Christ. Again, going back to these verses, he says that he's a Savior. Verse number 11. A Savior of what? What do you mean to be saved? That means a Savior to deliver man from their sins. The focus of the Bible is Jesus. It's not man. It's not a religion. It's not a priest. It's not a king. It's not a prophet. It's Jesus. The reason why is because he is the only one who's qualified to be the Savior. I like what Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says. It says, neither is there any salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And by the way, that includes no name. Sometimes, you know, we hear a lot more about other names, and it seems as though you can talk about everyone else. But when you bring up the name Jesus now, that seems to be the dividing line. But can I tell you this tonight? He's the only one. He's the only one that can give man salvation through his blood. Only him. He's the center of the message. And by the way, the center of every Christmas home should be Jesus. It's about him. And I pray that this Sunday and then Monday, when you celebrate your Christmas, that you realize the center of what you do, and even you know, opening the gifts and sharing your love one with another. Certainly nothing wrong with that. But remember, the focus is Jesus. As it's been said, he's the reason for the season. And then we have the promise of the message. And the promise of that message is deliverance. As a Savior, he delivers us. And what does he deliver us from? I've thought about this a lot. He delivered us from hell. I mean, it would be an awful thing to think about. I would die and go to hell. But Jesus suffered all of that for me so that I don't have to worry about hell. Someone asked, you know, do you guys preach on hell? If it's in the Bible, we preach on it. But I'm so glad that God delivered us from hell through his power. Salvation gives us power over sin. It's through him we can overcome not only the power of sin, but the presence of sin in our life every day. So God shows us this message. This message clearly is a message of salvation. We don't have to live in our sin. We are empowered by God to overcome the presence of sin in our life. Maybe tonight you're struggling with a besetting sin. I'm going to tell you, Jesus, turn to Jesus. Ask him to help you. Sometimes I think we put more trust in, okay, we're going to do this program, or we're going to do this thing, or we're going to have these steps we follow, or whatever the case is, when really what we need is we just need Jesus. When he comes into our life, when he begins to work, and we let him have his way in our life, then we can overcome that presence of sin in our life. So this message, it's a fourfold message. It's a joyful message. It's a universal message. It's a message of salvation, but then there's one more thought here. It's a divine message. In other words, when we talk about where does this come from, this comes directly from God. You know, someone has said, you know, there are some stories that you could just never make up. Well, I'm going to tell you this. This is not a made-up story. This came from God. This message is life-changing. Now, who would have ever thought it? Who would have ever thought that God, who sits in heaven, who's holy, that God who sits in heaven is holy, and that he would be willing to send his perfect son through a virgin birth to come to earth, to dwell among men, to be crucified and buried, and rise again from the dead, and die for our sins so that all of mankind can be forgiven. Whoever made that up? It can't be made up. It came from God. God sent the anointed one. God sent Jesus Christ as the very hope for all of mankind. And God sent Jesus, by the way, at the right time. I love what Galatians 4 says. It says, but when the fullness of time was come, that means the exact perfect time, that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem, that is, to save us, to deliver us, to pay the payment, to redeem them under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Here's what God says. I want him in my family. I want him to be a part of my family. I want to adopt him into my family. How do we do that? Through Jesus Christ. What's the contract? John 3:16, he wrote it. He signed it with his own blood. Tonight, this message came from God. This is not something when we open up, we read the, and we say, well, you know, the apostles wrote some of this, and these are some others, and you know, it's, you know, they kind of consulted together. No. It's a divine message. It came to us with divine heavenly authority. It came to us from God. Our message is from God himself. The divine origin is God. And by the way, it's serious. It's not something that man can just kind of cast aside, that man can forget. I remember years ago, I was witnessing to a girl, and I was telling her about Jesus. And there's her, oh, please don't tell me that message. And I said, why not? I think Larry was talking a little bit about that in our connection group this morning. He was sharing that. And people sometimes think, you know, I don't want to hear that. It, you know, as if to say, if I don't hear it, it's not real in my life. but it's real in everybody's life. You can't just say, by not saying anything, it's going to go away. It's like the truth is not there. It's like if someone tells you bad news, and you say, oh, please don't tell me that, as if the bad news is not there anymore. This is a divine message, and it's a serious one that we pay attention to. But then it came not only from God, but it came through God. So glad God brought it to us through His Son, His only begotten Son. Man, that's significant. This is of enormous importance that the message was that powerful that it came through His Son, Jesus. Yeah, tonight, you have a great message. Tonight, when we meet and fellowship, we fellowship around the Bible because the Bible is about Jesus. From cover to cover, it's Jesus Christ. When I look in the Garden of Eden, I find the fact that Jesus was there. In fact, John tells us in John chapter 1, we looked at that last week, that John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And that beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was Jesus. He was in the beginning. It wasn't that God created Jesus at Christmas. He was always there. Tonight, we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords if we know Him. The message is just a good reminder. Just don't forget this message. Don't forget the important message of Christmas. It's not buying the next thing. It's not the mythical, maybe imaginary type of Christmas that we dream or think about. But remember, the true message is about Jesus. Dwell on Him tonight. Think on Him tonight. This message is life-changing. When I think of celebrating Christmas, I want to celebrate a life-changing message. How about you? Amen? Truly, it is a life change. Let's pray. Dear Lord, tonight, I just want to take you.